Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, he's rough, he's tough, he's ready, he's all the man you will ever need. I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
Three, two, one, we're live.
Check, check, check. Mic check, mic check.
One, two.
One, two. Welcome. First, want to say thanks to Kit for that brilliant introduction. What a voice. My main man. Ain't that football? Hey, man, Kit. And my main man, the man next to the man is next to the man, Mr. P-Double.
What up?
Oh, okay, we get a round of applause for yo. There you go. we gotta get some human beatbox. Remember the Fat Boys and the human beatbox?
Yeah, 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 the Fat Boys.
The Fat Boys, that's it. You know? I can't do it. We used to try to do it around there, but I wasn't no good. And then, Dougie Fresh came out. He was doing it. That's 80s for you right there.
Hey, man, if you want to watch a good show, I know you're not a big into TV, but they're like kind of like each episode is kind of like a movie. Watch The Get Down. Have you heard of The Get Down? Ooh,
never.
It's on Netflix. It's kind of like a movie.
Right.
Write it down, The Get Down.
Watch write it down. Yeah. Be down or be square, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be down.
Grandmaster Flash makes an appearance in it.
For real?
Well, they have a character, an actor playing Grandmaster Flash, and it's about like New York and back in the day when all that was. Yeah, and Africa, Bambaataa.
Oh man, I might have to check that.
It's a great show, man. It's a great show.
I remember seeing a documentary. I think it had Nas in it. And it was more like Nas. That was kind of cool. But this is actually a series? This is a show?
Yeah, it's a show. And each episode is like an hour and a half or maybe an hour and 20 minutes. So it's kind of like a movie. And like there's like a season might be three or four episodes. It's called The Get Down.
Nice.
The Get Down is when, you know how on a rap record, there's the part where they would have like a disco record or whatever. The rappers would use, the DJ would use the Get Down. Which is just the part, you know, the good part.
Right.
Everything else is the whack part. You don't want to use that.
Right. And that's what they would cut and scratch and use,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So and you just, you know, you'd loop it. You'd have two turntables and a microphone.
Right.
You know, and they showed how, you know, you'd just keep playing the Get Down over and over again. It was pretty cool.
So
great show.
That's how everybody just watch their shows when they're ready. You know what I mean?
Things are so different now.
Right.
You know?
That used to be like in the old days, like the show came on, you based your time and where you went to the park, what you was cooking, everything.
Yeah. You got to go to the bathroom when a commercial came on.
Exactly. The Cosby Show is coming on this time. I got to be there. You know
right.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Miami Vice. It was like must-watch TV.
Yeah.
Hill Street Blues. So that with the Netflix, everything, you just...
chill in your bed or, on the train, whatever.
Whatever. And you could just watch it. Just like everybody listens to the Mr. National Podcast, okay?
Yeah, right. When you're driving in your car, when you're in the shower, when you're making love. Whenever
you want to hear us, when they come in. Yo, if you could listen to us, I mean, we salute you. But man, you got issues. If your woman lets you listen to us, while you doing your business, man, she's a keeper. Put a ring on it. Dude. That's a good one right there. But one thing.
I think Mr. National might be turning red.
No. That's you. We got Pete up on in the studio, blushing and everything over there. Laughing. I tell you, I could do stand up. I could get a crowd full of people like P Double up in my boy, I would be like the next Kevin Hart. it was like Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Ed McMahon, man. That guy. Hey, that man.
He made Johnny Carson funny, huh?
Yeah, he did. Not even saying nothing. That was a big deal to stay up and watch that
show. Yeah, right. You can stay up late. Yeah.
Late, and then you see it, and you're like, all right, so why is this guy? I'm a kid. I'm like, why is he so popular?
Right.
He ain't even funny.
Right. He's holding the card up to his head or whatever.
Yeah.
He kind of does like this, and Ed McMahon goes, ha, 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 ha,
right. I'm like, man, the big guy is funny. Like, how can he keep making himself laugh like that? Unbelievable. Talk about shows. I mean, I keep having this idea, Pete, about this show. You know, I don't know the avenues that you got to go through to get the show on, but you know how you write it or your pilot. But real quick, you know, all our listeners, I don't want to bore you. I don't want y'all stealing my idea either, okay? This is my sitcom idea.
Oh, you got a sitcom idea?
Yeah, sitcom. It was first, I had the idea of having, like, this place, like, you know, big, like a construction site or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you would go, like, say, like, you work in an office or whatever. And
right.
People that always wanted to do, like, construction-like stuff. Maybe you wanted to do a digger, use a digger. Or you wanted to drive a backhoe. Or you wanted to walk like the iron workers on a thing or jackhammer.
Yeah, right.
And my first idea was to come up like a place like that. Then this guy's work, like, they got a place like that. I was like, what? And it is. And I looked it up. I think it was in New Jersey. But they actually have a place where you can go. So then I turned my attention to like making it a sitcom. And the show was based around the guy. Where you go in, the main character was I didn't give him a name yet, but he was a white guy, married, and had two boys. And where you go in, like, the part where you come in for, like, the introduction to it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You have, I forget the name of it or what I had.
Yeah.
But it's like, the beginning part of it. So
yeah, when the music plays and everything, right? Like when Simpsons, they go and end up on the couch.
Well, most of the show would be when you come in, like it would have chairs and everything, and he had a blackboard behind it, and people would try and pick out their packages.
Oh,
and
you had
different packages. I can't even think of the word. It'll come to me later. But you got all the shows, like, you know, and listing of the prices, what you could do, you know.
Right,
You want the journeyman, you want the apprentice package. You know, the apprentice package, you know, you would come in and maybe do two tools or try to do two. You could do a little welding and a little jackhammer.
Okay.
You know, you get the superintendent, you got to drive the thing.
Right.
You got to climb, you know, all these different. Uh-huh. And this guy was kind of funny because he was like a retired construction worker. So he would kind of harass some of the people.
Right,
you know,
right.
The guy come up and like, you know, I want the superintendent. And he'd be like, you sure? Let me see your hands. There ain't no hands of no superintendent.
Right.
You know, so the show would be based around that part of the show.
Okay, that'd be the main setting.
That'd be the main setting of the show. And then I would have, like, you know, these people would be doctors. It would be people that wouldn't have nothing to do with construction. They would come, like, doctors, nurses, businessmen, lawyers. You had to put on boots. And then the other person was like a girl. Like her name would be like a real like Shanae or something.
Okay.
You know, she was kind of like, you know, ghetto hood or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And the guys would be coming up. And she, you know, they would have money or whatever. And the guy was like, you know, what size shoe you need? And he'd be like, I need a 12. Because it was almost like bowling. When you trade in your loafers and your shoes and you get work boots.
Right.
You know, they spread rent on the thing. And she'd be like, 13, you know what they say about men with big feet. You know, so that'd be her little skit and sitcom. So,
put a lot of thought into this.
Oh, yeah, dude, yeah, right. And then, and it was kind of like me being in it, and I was the owner, and I had like an office up top of that room. I can't think of that.
The reception area?
Not the reception, but it would be
lobby?
Like when you came in to sign the waiver,
yeah,
the pink, The pick lobby? What thing? I don't know. It'll come to me. Right. But my office was up top.
Right.
Guys would be like, and I owned the place. I was like a younger, I was a younger guy.
What actor would play you?
Oh, we don't know. That's, you know what I mean? You guys got to figure that out. But in my office,
Kevin Hart.
I was a 49er fan, and I have electric football games set up.
Oh, nice.
In the office.
Right.
Electric football board. And the way I got the money was that my dad, was a construction guy, and he got killed in a construction accident.
Okay.
And I got all this money. And this is how I was able to get the business.
Right.
The person for me.
Right.
And the guy, the older guy, the other guy that's always harassed, the main character.
Right.
He was with my dad. He was my dad's best friend.
Okay.
But, he had drinking problems. Whatever. So when the accident happened, he didn't get, When you drunk high, you don't really get money if you got hurt. So right. He got hurt a little bit that he wasn't be able to work in the field. But when I got the money, I made sure I looked out for him.
Right, right.
And he got this job working. And a lot of the show, a lot of the show would be him flashing back to the real construction stuff.
With your dad.
My dad and stuff, and they in there.
Wow.
And they working.
That's pretty, I like it, man. I like it. That's pretty cool.
So, man, I keep, and every day from work, I get, little stuff happening people. Because construction, I tell you, construction workers have some of the most crudest and,
humor.
Conversations. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's crazy. It's off the chart. So
couldn't even make it on the podcast.
Yeah, right. We try to clean up a little bit. We throw a couple F-bombs out there, but, construction is just crazy. So some of the shows will be like, him flashing.
Man, you gotta put it together and pitch it.
I do. I gotta. You know what I mean? And then I would get complaints. Some people would be like, "He's offensive." You know what I mean? To him. I get complaints, and then
right.
Open office, and you see me.
Yeah, playing electric football.
Just having the stuff up there, and I would have to call him up there.
Smoking a cigar.
And be like, "Dude, you gotta chill out." You know what I mean?
Right.
And he'd be like, "Man, they ain't ready."
Right.
I'm like, it's not real construction. They just want to just have a little fun. And he trying to get him out of his construction. He's still stuck in construction.
Right, right.
He want to lay people off. I'm like, they don't go work for you.
Lay people off.
Yeah.
Write them up.
write them up. Yeah, you get two checks today. So yeah, that's I didn't mean to bore you. I went off a little bit, but
that's cool. I like it.
That was like my little
brainchild.
Yeah. So if the podcast don't jump off, I got some other I got some other options.
If this podcast thing doesn't work out.
Hopefully it do. I got to get this walk-in closet, this house.
Right,
this
some way, somehow. It's going to happen. Hey, man, keep those irons in the fire.
Well, that's the idea. Now they probably told you. Somebody's going to steal it.
Yeah, somebody's going to steal it. You got to put it together and pitch it, man.
Well,
pitch
right
it to
now,
Hollywood.
It's on our podcast, on the Mr. National podcast.
Yeah.
Want to thank
my mom is going to take that and steal it. She listens to every episode.
Oh my goodness. Well, enough of me, Pete. You got the real news and what's going on.
I was working today, but I did have CNN on in the background. And are you a Donald Trump fan?
No, not really, I guess. I mean, no.
Are you a hater?
No, I just don't have no opinion. No opinion. When I think of Donald Trump, I think of, him being the owner of the New Jersey Generals, USFL, and Your Fired show.
Yeah, You're and Fired.
You're Fired. And then they voted him president. I'm like, damn. Hey.
Yeah. Well, apparently today we found out that he was trying to buy the Buffalo Bills at one point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if
recently
you remember.
Or back then?
No, this was a I don't know. I guess I don't really know when, but we probably was in.
Before. That's why they say he always has a hard on for the NFL. When they was protesting, he took a real hard stand because they kind of blocked him.
Yeah.
And instead of him kept fighting, he said that before. He said, you know, his regret was, you know, he should have just kept trying to get in the NFL instead of trying to do that.
So his lawyer, his personal lawyer, testified in front of Congress today. Mm-hmm. And said that he overstated his assets in order to get a loan to buy the Buffalo Bills. But it fell through and he didn't get it anyway. But in order to do it, he had to say that he was worth more than he actually was.
Oh, so lying.
Among other heinous crimes, that was one of them. That was one that I thought you might be interested in. So
to buy the Buffalo. Yeah, he wanted to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Go ahead.
No, you go. You finish.
No, but there was a explosive testimony in front of Congress today. Allegations leveled by his former personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen. And
now, why is this guy turning on him? And why is he former?
He's former, and this guy's he's getting ready to go to prison for lying to Congress. Before when he was actually working for Trump, so that's another piece of it. That I mean, the guy's a liar, so you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt.
Yes, right. That was my saying. I was just about to say, a drowning man will grab at anything.
but I mean, you're never going to convict a criminal by interviewing a bunch of choir boys, you know.
That's true.
Right. You can't make a case against, you know, a criminal unless you get witnesses to testify against them.
Right.
And those witnesses are not going to be nice people, you know.
Most likely. But when you in trouble your own self and you looking at doing hard time,
right,
you're going to roll over on people.
Right.
And you'll sing and you'll say whatever, you know.
Right.
Like the great scene from The Godfather.
Well, there were so many things. I was watching it today, and there were so many things. Like, it was just like out of The Godfather. I mean, it was hilarious. People were screaming, order in the court. The guy was with the gavel.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was going down today, man. It was crazy.
Goodness. Yeah, Godfather court scene.
Yeah.
They say Michael Corleone did this. They say Michael Corleone did that. I don't know. I just say, yeah. Yeah, he did it, but he didn't do it. They just wanted me to say that dude,
Fredo.
Supposed to testify. Yeah, he's supposed to testify. And Michael came in the courtroom with his brother.
Yeah, and they just sat down.
They just sat down, never said nothing.
Yep.
And the guy just changed his whole story up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was drama like that going down today.
Okay.
It was pretty wild.
All over Trump.
Oh, yeah. Basically, this guy was saying all the dirt that he did. Some of it while he was president, some of it before he was president. But
unbelievable. Now, all this stuff is coming. I wonder if Trump, he's like 2 years in, I guess, right?
Right,
I wonder if he was just like, man, I made a mistake. Why did I do this? Now, you know what I mean?
According to this guy, and this part isn't really, you know, it was just sort of a side comment, but Trump had no plan for the presidency. He was running for president in order to bolster his image and strengthen his brand. But he had no plan to actually win.
Mm-hmm.
So when he won, he was like, he didn't even have a speech planned, an acceptance speech, you know? So now he's got to figure out what he's going to do. I mean, it was like...
Okay, right. I told people that. I was like, dude, I don't really think he wants to be the... I think he's just doing it ego-wise.
Yeah.
And then once he wins, all right, Republican, I got you the president. Now do what you want to do. But I guess his ego... Well, he should hand it over to the people that really know this stuff.
No.
He don't do that.
No.
And that's what's making him look like an idiot now, I guess. So.
Well, I think he looks like an idiot because he is actually an idiot.
But,
Now it's just, you know, the whole world can, is there first front row, you know?
Right,
like
right.
To see this guy. But
yeah, I mean, he should have turned it over. I said that to myself. I mean, you know, I was like, he probably just wanted to just do it just for ego-wise, you know? Just,
right, but now he's in there. Now it's, I mean, oh, he's only, anybody that doesn't feed his ego, he fires him.
Fires him. That's what he does.
And so now again, he's just got a bunch of people feeding his ego.
Well, they should have seen that. That's what he did with the thing when the NFL didn't give him a team. He jumped in with this USFL.
Yep.
Screw you. We're going to build this thing, and we're going to take your business. And it didn't. It only lasted like 2 years.
Right. He's not a very cunning businessman or negotiator or anything.
No. He just said, grab him by the pussy. You know?
Yeah.
That takes him on life.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the big drama today and what's going on, I guess.
I got Bryce Harper news, okay?
Okay, that's what I'm going to hear.
Where is he going? Here in Philadelphia, every day, every morning on the sports talk is he signed yet? Is he going to go to the Dodgers? I think it's down to the Dodgers who put a shorter term on the table. As opposed to the Phillies, who put a 10-year, like $300 million contract on the thing. So
they
just wait and see. And Bryce is just sitting back in Vegas, and he's got all these people flying out to him, you know, to kiss his ass, and we love you and we want you. So it's like the baseball version of the LeBron James thing. So
Right. Is he going to he's going to have a episode on – interviewed by, who did LeBron get interviewed by? Bob Costas or somebody like
that? Was that Costas when
Jim
he sat
Gray?
Down? I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Decision.
Yeah, the decision, yeah. Was it Jim Gray or somebody like that? I can't remember who interviewed
him. It might have been Jim Gray. Been Jim Gray.
The big decision or something like that.
Yeah, the decision.
That's going to be the Bryce Harper.
That's the Bryce Harper.
The big moment.
So that's still ongoing. As we sit here today doing the Mr. National Podcast, and show 23, LeBron's number, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think that's Bryce Harper, number two.
Is it?
I think Bryce Harper wears number 23. I think. I got to look that up. We got to look that up, P.W. You the guy. You got to look that up.
I can look
Bryce
that up
Harper
right now.
Play with the Nationals. But talking about LeBron, the Lakers are stinking.
Oh.
LeBron isn't happy, okay? He said he ain't got enough help again. I mean, the dude is unbelievable, but hey, you made this bed. You have to lay in it, you know?
Number 34, Bryce Harper.
That's what he is. You're right, yeah. 34, not 23. Right. I know he had a real popular number.
Yeah, great number, 34.
34 might be the greatest number in sports.
I think of Earl Campbell and Sweetness.
Uh-huh. Nolan Ryan. Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Herschel Walker. Hakeem Olajuwon. I'm going to say 32, 33, or 34. Got to be in there.
Yeah. Greatest number.
The greatest number in sports.
That'd be an interesting study to be done, you know?
Remember on the stack when that show they had the numbers on there.
Yeah,
they had the greatest numbers.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see like top 50 players, you know, in NBA, top 50 players in NFL, baseball, hockey. What were their numbers? What's the most popular number? Highest ranked number?
Okay, you know? I got you.
We might have to get to our crack research staff at the stack with that show to. Right. You know, formulate some scientific studies and
exactly right. They got to earn their money. I mean, we got the staff, we paying them.
Probably
got to put them to work.
List
you know
the think
mean?
Tank for that one.
Exactly. I mean, right now we got to give them kudos. The Wednesday hump day photos. I mean,
oh yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Tuesday, crazy.
I mean, Tuesday.
Tit for Tat Tuesday, man. You know me, I don't have one tattoo on me.
Nor does P Double.
Oh, wow. See that? Mr. National, there's zero ink on the Mr. National podcast. Now, I tell you what, folks, you got to make this happen. If you get us our ratings and get us, what are we trying to reach? Are we on iTunes yet, Peter? We on iTunes?
Yeah, we're on iTunes. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Should we set a goal of like 100 hits in an episode, and we'll each get tattoos? I'll get a San Francisco 49er tattoo, and you can get a Dallas Cowboys.
Whoa! Back up. Pump the brakes. Here's what the tattoo. They get us big time. I'm gonna get an MNP tattoo.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you get P double.
Right on.
P double. That's it. Okay.
P double is the best. And I'll get that. Or should I shorten it?
No, get it. And you know what I mean? And then when you with your wife, you get, you know what I mean? And y'all in the bedroom and you listening to the podcast, and you be like, call me P double, baby. Say I'm the best.
You're not right.
You're going to be like, Paul, are you kidding me? Get off me, Paul. You can't do that podcast no more. Keep it going. Listen, mock drafts are coming up all over. We got Mel Kiper, we got Ty McShay, Pete. What do you think of this Kyler Murray? They trying to. I don't think he's too little, man. I don't think he's gonna do nothing. Myself.
No.
I don't know. I just don't see it.
Well, the
they said it's gonna be a first round pick. Like top 20, maybe.
The interesting, or you know, they got these combines now, you know, where they, it's kind of like it's almost like they're covered so heavily now. You can see, you know, they got their stats on their, you know, their 40 yard dash, how much bench press. I mean, you can look it all up now.
The you know vertical what I mean? Throw.
Yeah, the vertical leap. It's just down to the science.
Explosive. I give him that, but can the guy read coverage and throw that out from the hash? I don't know.
Think he's too small?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's worth taking in the first 20 picks or wherever they got him at.
About that is you can never tell. It's one of those things. I mean, you can never tell what's going to translate in the NFL.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Never. Because you have Jamarcus Russell was 6'4".
Right.
Could throw the ball 80 yards from his knee.
Right.
He could be on a knee and throw the ball 80 yards. That's right. All on the strip.
Complete head case.
But a complete head case. You know what I mean? Right. Then you get Tom Brady, a sixth-round draft pick.
Right.
One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Right, and you watch his sprint at the combine and you're like,
oh my God, it looked like a 38-year-old man with a bum knee.
Yeah.
He was only 24 years old or something like
wow.
that. You know?
Yeah. So
but you can't tell.
You can't tell. You got to get out there and play the game, you know. But the another thing too is you got to, you know, like I think of like Steve Young. He played in USFL. Then he sat the bench for a few years behind Montana.
Yeah.
And then finally when he got it, I was like, I remember when he was on the bench, I'm thinking, how can you go to San Francisco where you know you're going to sit the bench when you could be one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now?
Right.
But when it was his turn, I mean, he hit the ground running.
He did.
You know, and they won Super Bowls.
But he was with Tampa first. He played in the USFL, and then he came to Tampa Bay. Yeah, he was with Tampa Bay, and he didn't. I mean, he was okay. He was getting his brains beat out, but that's who he played with first, the Buccaneers.
Oh, so not a bad idea to go sit the bench.
Hell yeah!
Right. What I'm saying is he had a mentorship. He had an apprenticeship.
Much like Aaron Rodgers did with Brett sitting under Brett
exactly
Favre.
Right. So that's another big thing I think that people don't, you know, nowadays they want players to come in at a quarterback position, you can't just, it's very rare you do like Dan Marino or, you know.
But they all coming in now. They all
right,
play.
Oh, what's the kid from Kansas City right now?
Mahomes,
yeah. I mean, they want him to play like that, but that's rare. It's just rare.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they all doing now. Everybody wants instant.
Right,
that's
right.
That's why our beloved sport of electric football, you know, kind of takes a back seat because it's so hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
When you play, you take it, you separate, and you do it again. I mean, it's not just like boom, 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 the men line up by themselves.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I've demonstrated it, and guys come over and are like, what's this? This is cool. You run a play, and they're like, all right. And then you start setting up the next play.
And they're gone.
Yeah. They lose interest. They're like, oh, man, that's way too long for me.
Right, that play, yup. Yeah, exactly. That's the owner at Daly's Pub, where the Philly NFL League plays. And he, the owner, he comes out, he's like, man, you guys got patience.
Like, yeah, yeah, patience.
Set it back up again.
Yeah.
But that's the joy in it.
Oh, I know. In electric football, you got to love, like, just the pick up one player and just look at him and go, wow, look at that. Look, you can see the face mask, you know, look at that ball tucked under there. You know, look at those socks, you know, that's awesome.
He's got dreads.
Right. You can see the little cleats on his feet.
Right. He got fingers, he got Nike gloves on, all of that.
And then you put him down and go, watch him push this guy, you know.
Right. You watch him push this guy, or you get pushed, or you watch him cut that corner.
Right.
And you go under, and you turn the dial a little bit, and you start to play with him, you know, you start to play with him facing straight, and then on your pivot move, you point him right at the sideline. And if that guy didn't have that linebacker out there to cover him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, obviously in toe pro, is a whole different style.
Toe pro is more like real football.
Yeah, of course. The disciple has spoken. The apostle Paul.
Hey, speaking of electric football, we got to give a shout out. Got to give a shout out to the Gridiron Buzz Network. They had their 1 year their birthday the other day. Did you watch the show?
Oh,
on
my
Sunday?
Goodness!
On Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
Was their birthday? Playing. Yeah, it was their birthday.
I think I was playing. That's why I couldn't watch it. Yeah, Roger told me.
Yeah.
Man, I missed it. Man, I'm just so busy with that. How was the show? I got to watch
it. It was great. It was great. Yeah, Roger and Dustin.
Happy birthday, guys.
Yeah. Can't say enough about what they've done for electric football.
Absolutely. And the Mr. National podcast.
Oh, man, incredible.
I know. They got when they do their broadcast, they got a Mr. National Red Zone.
Yeah,
alert.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm like, that's crazy. I'm like, they. You know what I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, they did a little. They did so it was their 1 year anniversary, and so they did a little sort of a recap of how they got started, and he showed the picture of when Smokestack gave him the iPad.
No, me.
Was that you?
I gave it to him. Yeah,
okay.
It was me.
And so he has a picture, and he's like, this is the beginning of the Gridiron Buzz Network. This is the genesis of it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was me. I had my iPad.
Yeah.
And I was streaming one of the games on live.
Yeah.
Dustin was there. I was like, hey, kid. like me and Joe Green.
Right.
Yo, that's crazy. Unbelievable. Wow, 1 year already.
Yeah, yeah, and they kind of reviewed the year, you know, and it's nuts, you know, that everywhere they've been in just this 1 year. You know, they started off in like, I can't remember, I think it was Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, okay.
And they've been,
close.
But they've been to L.A., they've been to, you know, Dallas, they've been to Atlanta.
They've been all over.
Yeah.
Spending serious coin, man. Serious coin, you know?
But they love it. You know, you can tell they love it.
So. Oh, that's their passion.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and the figure, he started off or got the idea from streaming the championship game off of iPad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Dang. Like, I need him to work on my my sitcom.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Yep.
He took an iPad showing it, and then to what they got, that's incredible.
Yeah.
They got the headphones. They got all. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, they got the green screen behind them. You know,
right, all that.
They got the Friday Night Lights touchdown. They got the Miss National Red Zone.
Unbelievable.
It's pretty awesome.
It is, and I mean, like a lot of people when they started up, people was texting and calling me. It was like, you know, they trying to be like the Stack with Nat show, and I was like, well, no, not. I mean.
Right, it was, yeah.
I don't have.
I was one of those. I was like, what's this about, you know?
Yeah, they trying to step on their toes. And I never felt like that. I mean, I was just like, great. Yeah. Because I was like, maybe somebody could do it. Because I always felt like, you know, we were just two idiots with a camcorder getting drunk and just, you know, shoot shit, you know? And
right.
It was like,
it's a whole different thing. Yeah.
Just
different vibe. Different vibe than the Great White.
Different
brothers.
Vibe all right. together. And these guys, hey, these guys is on to something. Let's you know, touch it up. And I was like, kudos to them.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Absolutely. Same thing with Mo, you know what I mean? Electric Coach with his video.
Yeah. Right. RK but, Games is great too.
He's great. He's
and,
great.
And one of my I think an underrated one is Jeff McCauley. I love watching when he holds the camera. He explains, breaks it down.
For the East Coast games.
Yeah. He breaks it down. You know, but he's got a great accent, too. You know?
He's got the great accent.
Yeah.
Well, he's country, but not. He's not as bad as Richard. Richard's real country. Like
Yeah, I can't even understand what he's saying. but he asks everybody what the score is.
Richard, RK Games, man, he is real country.
What's the score we got going on here? RK goes from one game to the next. He just keeps going.
Yes.
You know?
He just keeps going, right.
But Jeff, he breaks it down. You know, he says, now, according to the rules in the East Coast League, you can turn three guys, you know, up to the front of base and all this stuff.
Right,
he just breaks
right.
it down. And so it's fun to watch.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. So you got a lot of different flavors of electric football.
Dude, you do, and that's the beauty of our sport, our game. And I chase it back to Reggie Rutledge, you know.
Right,
I mean, I'm old school. I've been
the
back
legend.
In the hobby about 20 years or more. So
right.
I chase it back. You know, Reggie was always ahead of the curve, you know,
right.
with broadcasting and streaming.
It's kind of a visionary is what I call Reggie.
And the stadiums.
Yeah.
Everything. So I mean, if it was like an evolution thing, you know what I mean? It would start with Reggie, and then with, you know, you could get Stack with Nat show in there, and you know, and you got Electric Coach,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you got at the top down of the mountain, you got Gridiron, Roger and Dustin, what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious bucks.
Yeah,
those cameras. I mean, that's
it's awesome though.
It is awesome, and it's like.
I mean, if I was a kid and dreamed up the ultimate, that would be it.
Yes, that would be it. That's what I say.
Yeah.
I say that right now. I wouldn't even have to be a kid. I mean,
right.
Stack with that. I mean, you like me. That's nothing. Like what they guys is doing is it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Then for them, when I'm at one of the events and we at the same event, for them to show me the love and get me in there, like you know.
Yeah,
I'm like, wow, dude, like, stop it.
Yeah, I called the game in Cincinnati with them one time, and man, that was a blast. That was just so much fun, you know.
You, it's like empowering.
Felt like Tony Romo.
But not as good. Yo, Romo be calling the plays. Romo, man, he done found his niche, man.
Yeah, he's great.
He don't choke. You know,
he wasn't much of a quarterback, but he could call a game.
Right. He would choke in the worst time. But,
what else is going on?
Well, did you get a chance to see that, post on the Miniature Football Facebook site about the, mentors and everything?
Yeah. I looked at it.
Pretty long, you know?
Yeah. It was a lot of, really, you know.
Input.
Touching stories and.
Well, Lomax was mad nobody mentioned him. Lil Max, we mentioned you right now on the podcast.
Yeah, you're one of the cornerstones of the hobby.
You just, wow, whoa, I ain't going that
far. You're holding it down over there in East Coast.
Yeah. We mentioned him. Now, we're going to see if he gives us some props if he listens to the show.
Right, right. If he can make it to minute 39.
That's it. So, right, there you go. So, Lomax, you know what I mean? He does do a lot. Lomax is probably one of the best X and O coaches in the sport. So, but he hasn't played toe pro. And that's what I got to try.
Yeah?
I mean, once we get through our season, we're in the week 3 or 4 now. We're starting our Philly season. And I had a big game against the Stack. When that show, it was Stack versus Nat. I pulled out the 21-20 victory.
So did I read that. So did he really just, like, take a knee?
No, he didn't take a knee.
He didn't try his onside kick.
He didn't try his onside kick. So
what was
he
that
scored
about?
First, then I came back and scored. You know, we both kicked our extra points. Boom, boom, 7. Then he got the ball. He scored again. He's up 14-7. Then I scored 14 up. Then I stopped and I scored again. And I'm up. And I kicked my extra point. 21-14.
Okay.
Then Stat comes back and scores again late in the game, under 2 minutes. And he goes to kick the extra point and misses. So now it's like a minute 48. He has 2 timeouts. So the kickoff, he doesn't attempt the onside.
Oh, because he's going to take his timeouts.
I guess. I don't know. So he don't take onside, which I thought was crazy. And then, you know, I line up. I just line up. I was passing in a pass formation most of the game, spreading them out.
Right.
I went in a run formation. You know, I had 2 backs, and we were running into the line.
Who you got as your backs? You got Roger Craig?
Yeah, I have Frank Gore, which is on a Ken Allen base that he gave me.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Yes, awesome base. I've had it for like 6 years, 5 years. Don't need no retweaking. It's a TTC base. Unbelievable. So I got Frank Gore. I really wanted a 1-back offense. Most of them is Frank Gore, but when I went to the 2-back, like I was telling you, I brought in Roger Craig.
All right.
So I had Steve Young, Frank Gore, and Roger Craig in the backfield. Oh, man. Don't that make the hair on the back of your neck stand up? You know what I mean? I just said that, and I got chills. You know what I mean? I got chills. You know? And that was the first time I went to, like, 2 backs going into the line of scrimmage. So I just wanted to run the ball.
Right.
So I ran it and I broke off. I actually got through the scrum, and Frank Gore was in the open, so he was heading to the sidelines, and I stopped it. You know, stopped him inbounds.
Okay.
So the way the game clock, the clock will stop momentarily to let the defense, Philly rules, under 2 minutes, the clock stops after every play.
Okay.
To let the defense separate. So the onus is on the defense. Get your men back. Start the clock up.
Okay.
Game clock and the play clock. So he got his men back, and I'm waiting for him to say timeout, and he didn't say timeout. So I just started lining up. Andrew was the ref. Andrew the question. So he said, clocks are going. Game clock's on. 120 and counting. Your setup clock. So I let the setup clock go all the way down to like 3 or 4. Then I called set. And then Ed's lining his men up. And then I ran it again. And then I broke off another run, went around the outside. And the guy was going to the sidelines. I stopped it again before he went out of bounds.
Right.
Clock stop. Ed separates, smokestack separates.
You're running the switch here on offense?
Yeah, we run the switch on offense, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, offense runs the switch.
So when there's a tackle, it's down where you hit him or down where you
hit him? Yeah, down where you hit him. Yeah,
you
bring it back.
Okay, you bring it back to where the contact was.
With a contact.
Okay, because
and we have a rule in place that to prohibit and to restrict. You know what I mean? Keep people from overrunning the switch is that once the board goes off, if the ball carrier is being tackled by 2 defenders, it's a fumble.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you had to flip the coin and see who recovers it. So you once you run it into a scrum, you need to stop it and down yourself before you run into two defenders and cough up the ball.
Oh wow, okay. That's cool.
The offense has a switch, but you different. Try overrunning the switch and you got hit back here, and by the time you stop it you got two men on you, fumble. Guess what?
Wow.
It's a fumble.
Wow.
It's a fumble. So that gives you something to think about when
you run the ball.
Especially inside where everybody's at.
Yeah.
Trying to go between tackles, up the A-gap.
Yep. Yep.
You stop it and get hit, you could fumble the ball. So,
wow.
Sack. So I ran the ball about 2-3 times. And
poor clock management by the Vikings.
Yeah, he didn't
smoke stack.
I guess he was happy to lose by one instead of calling timeouts and then I might score more.
Okay.
Crazy. Huh. Loser mentality. He's my boy on the, he's my partner and boy on the show, but he's a scrub on the EF. So that was that. I mean, that was just one of the games. We had a lot of great games. Kareem Campbell played Rue Morgans. They played, I think, on Sunday. I think they came down. I think me and Stack played on Saturday. I can't remember when that show was. I remember that Gridiron Buzz Network show.
That was on Sunday. On Sunday evening.
All right. We were there at the pub.
Mm.
Yeah, we were still at the pub. I can't remember what day I played. Anyway, make a long story short, I played so bad against Stack that I hooked up. My team was just like doing nothing. I never tweaked my team,
mm-hmm.
You know, bumped them up or nothing. I went over Jamie Harris' house, the Wiz.
Yeah.
And we was tweaking. I had a day where we left early for work. It was cold and stuff. I said, man.
He say, National, come on over here. We're going to tweak some bases.
Some bases, right. I said, man, what you doing? He like, nothing in the dungeon. I said, I'm on my way. On my way. So I can't wait. So I tweaked some new bases up for my team. So I'm excited to play my next game.
Cool.
Which will be this weekend. We'll see.
I ordered some 808 figures.
Oh, yeah. I heard they're a little heavy. But it don't matter with 4.0.
No, they're heavy. I haven't got them yet. I'm thinking about trying to paint my Cowboys. Or I'm trying to.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking that I might want to try to do a really great job and paint them myself. Or get somebody to paint them, like see if I can get Frank Jacobs or somebody like that to paint them.
Yeah, or Chris Stacy.
Chris Stacy, yeah. There's so many. Yeah, there's.
Oh You got a lot of options, and the guys you named are all good guys. Customer service wise, you know.
Right.
Jamie had some 808 figures, an old lineman. They were nice.
Really?
He painted his own stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you put them on them ITZ bases. ITZ bases are pretty light.
So yeah, right.
Like we worry about the weight because our weight
you're is 3.3, right?
3.40.
Okay.
3.4.0. So
yeah, I got some guys that I got a guy that's from Steve Toth, the center. I couldn't get him under 4.0 unless I put him on an old rookie base, one of those clear.
Wow, with no putty on him.
Nothing,
at all.
No extra weight. He
wow.
He was still over 4.0.
No way.
Yeah.
What kind of base?
It was like one of those rookie bases, those ghost, you know, those frost.
Oh, right.
Rookie bases, like real small, little light ones.
Jeez. What figure was this? 808?
No, it was the Steve Toth.
Okay.
The, what you call it, the dynamic strategy football.
Strategy,
yeah.
Right.
And the rest of the guys were awesome. I mean, all the guys were great. But that one center figure, you know, that had the ball.
Right.
He's kind of heavy.
Wow.
But.
Well, Kenny has nice figures, too. He used Next Level.
Yeah, man, those are awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really nice. He did a great job with them.
Oh yeah.
Oh, talking about the Philly League and upsets, man. His dad, Harold King,
mm-hmm.
Andrew Stewart, and the Packers. Big. Oh, I remember now. Sunday, I helped ref the Eagles and the Saints game.
Uh huh.
I was in pub. Man, I tell you, during the season, P Double, I'm in that pub like work.
All the time. I can say like
10:40, 10:30, 10:40, 11 o'clock. I don't leave there till like 8
Wow.
P.M.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We were on the podcast last week.
That's right. On
the weekend, you're getting calls.
That's right. Remember?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I got to listen to
that. That was great. Show 22 was great. If you listen to right now, you're listening to show 23. Go back and listen to show 22.
Right. Dang, I forgot all about that. I'll tell you what.
That was great. Adrian Baxter was on the Mr. National podcast.
Oh, I got to listen to that. I never listened to the show. I listened to it a little bit, you know, hear Kit, you know. I love Kit's voice, you know.
Right,
Can't wait for him to get over and start showing this tow program.
Yeah.
But I got to listen to that. Yeah, Adrian called. I think Will Travers called.
Yeah.
Nuts. I'm going to listen to that one now that I think about it.
What else is on your list there?
Well, I think that's almost everything. I was just, you know what, I had written down, jotted down in my notes, folks. You know, Mr. National, we wing it most of the time here on the podcast, on the Stack When That show. But, you know, we take down some notes. I try to be professional. Try to be. And the funny thing is, when P-Double, like, texts or whatever, like, you going to do the show today? You want to do it? You ready? I get nervous.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. 23 shows, I get nervous.
Wow.
Like, it's funny. Like, with the Stack When That show, I'm cool. Because I know I got Smoke Stack, you know.
Yeah, you're carrying this one. I'm just water in the bucket.
Listen, I'm telling you, every time you tell me, like I'm ready to do it, I'm like, I be thinking of reasons not to do it. I be like, I'm tired.
Your name is all alone on the marquee for this one, Mr. National Podcast.
I know, and I get nervous every single time.
That's a good not thing. One. That's good. Keep you on your toes, though, right?
I guess. But it always makes me feel like I don't want to do it. When we start, it's like, I guess like any big game, I got butterflies, but then when I got hit, when I got tackled, it was that first hit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I know that feeling.
Yeah, so that's
a long time ago.
But with the podcast, every time. So
that's funny.
Yeah,
couldn't tell.
He said can't tell.
But
listen, I am. He texted me. I'm like, yeah, all right. And then so you text me, yo, you want to do the show today? And I say, and I text back. I say, cool, all right. Then we pick a time. So as that time gets closer, I'm getting nervous, and I'm looking at. I'm like, oh man, we about to start. You know, I'm like, what are we going to talk about? You know what I mean? What do you got? I'm like, oh. And then once we start talking, and I get my first chuckle or laugh out.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. And then it flows.
Then it flows, right? Then it flows. So, and my notes, I had written down the top 60, 64, and I can't remember when we did it. I think Electric Football was 64 years old. And we came up with this top 64 list of coaches. It was in the Tweet magazine. This will probably wrap up our podcast for the day. But this list, Peter, I'll give you a little review of it. So I asked 25 coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed them, text, whatever. Give me your top 20 coaches all time.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Give me your top 20. So I asked and I broke down, you know, the MFCA used to be broken up into across the map into regions.
Right.
So I had even amount of regions represented. So it wouldn't be like I didn't just ask all East Coast guys.
Right.
I had it throughout the region, throughout the map. So I said, give me your top 20. So I had 24 and 25 coaches all give me their top 20.
This is like a coach's poll.
Yes. And points was awarded from number 1 down to number 20.
Okay.
And I want to say, and I got it down to 64. It was the top 64 coaches.
Wow.
I had probably like 100 names. You know,
That's awesome.
It was probably 100 names, maybe 90 names. Right. But out of that, condensed by the points, it was came down to 64. So I just wanted to give that a shout out. That was a lot of work. I
mean, yeah, that was sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it was. It was a labor of love, as me and Stack always say. Labor of love.
Would you say that was like, what, 6 years ago?
I think it was longer than that. I want to say it was 2010 or 2012.
Has the hobby seemed like it's picking up lately? Like, or is it steady or is it declining? I mean, in terms of people playing.
No, it's more, I would say.
Is it more now?
But it's funny how you go in, you get newer guys, but then some of the older guys drop off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we just had one of our legends from Philly, James Cruz, come back. Guy right. played in 16 years.
Wow.
Okay, here you go. He hadn't played in 16 years. He made the list.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? He hadn't played. And I did the thing like 7 years or 8 years ago. I'll find that Tweet magazine. But he was so good in his era of playing that people remembered him.
Right.
And I didn't have, you know, back when I got these 24 or 25 coaches I asked, it wasn't all old guys. It wasn't all new guys. I did a mix. I did a good mix. I felt like I got a good mix of newer and older and all through the region. So
right.
It was and number one was Adrian Baxter.
Really?
Yes.
He
appeared number one on more people's list than anybody.
Not surprising. And he's still balling. He's a machine.
He is. I gotta find that thing. Maybe the next podcast I'll actually have the list, the magazine with me, and I can scroll through.
One of my favorite moments was when we were in Dallas and he won the championship. Brandon. Yeah.
Brandon, right?
And you went up to talk to him after the game. The only thing he had to say was he just showed you the ring. he didn't say anything. He's a man of few words.
He is.
Yeah, you went to interview. You were like,
I had to coax him because he wouldn't interview nobody. He wouldn't talk to nobody.
Right, right.
And I was like, I'll get him to talk. Adrian, I was like, I'll get him to talk. And he said a couple words.
Yeah.
And just put the drink up. he just plays and wins, man. He's in our league too. He don't play in no leagues, but he's in the Philly league. So pretty cool stuff.
Yep.
Before we end it, I just want to give you props on your Michigan State, your Spartans.
Let's go State. Oh my God, Izzo went bananas after that game. He ran into the locker room and it was like he won, he had champagne.
Did he?
Well, he like won a national championship.
There you go. That was huge, yo. That's a big time in-state rivalry right there.
Yeah, yeah. And I got so many people that are such Michigan fans are such asses that I that I'm really enjoying this moment.
Right. Take that, you know. What
they,
I mean?
We, I like, think we got a now Michigan State. We host Michigan in a couple weeks for the last game of the season in East Lansing, because this was in Ann Arbor. This game was at Michigan, and Michigan State beat them on their home court.
Okay.
So now we host them, so we got a good chance of sweeping them this year, and then we go into the Big Ten tournament right after that.
What is Hulk? I gotta find out from Jim.
Hulk's a Michigan State guy.
He used to live in
East Lansing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so was Steve Martin. He's Michigan State. His dad played for the football team.
Oh really?
Steven Martin. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Joe Allure went to Michigan.
Yeah.
He's a Michigan
right. Yeah. Guy. That's why. Yeah. That's why he makes all that money.
Yeah.
He's actually smart. He went to Michigan.
He makes the voters, right? Hey, at the Clash, we all rooming together. I'm rooming with him.
Awesome.
Awesome.
I would love to go to that. I would love to go to that.
That's a big one. That's always a big one.
Yeah. There's so many people over there that play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our league has probably about 12 Maryland-based coaches.
Right.
Our Philly league, yeah. That Matt Maryland.
You just move out there.
Well, it's only 2 hours away. We're all like yeah, one. I mean, they have the it's East big, Coast, but we all
Megalopolis. Yeah.
It's like I mean,
Smokestack comes from Jersey, doesn't he?
Yeah, but that's not far. He's only like 32 minutes.
Right.
I mean, you got New York,
yeah,
Philly, all like Pennsylvania. You got York, you got Lancaster, all them different areas, all them coaches is in that area. Yeah. And then you got the Maryland, D.C. area.
Wow. It's,
that's the big, big part of a big hotbed for electric football.
Right. That and Detroit.
Detroit, yeah. I would say Texas, too.
Yeah. Dallas got a couple different leagues. Did you know?
Yeah, they do.
If you want to really check out, get a rundown on the leagues, go to the Stack with Nat Show page, stackwithnatshow.com, and there's an article about all the leagues in electric football across the country.
There you go. You heard it right from P Double right there. That's no better. P Double on this podcast is a man of few words, so when he speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton. You listen. Okay? Get to that website. Check out that very well-written article in Smokestack. If you're listening, get off your red bone, lazy ass and start writing. What's that thing he's supposed to write? What's
a blog.
A blog. You've been holding up our website, dude. We even got a little link to your blog, and there's no blog there. You know what I mean? So, Smokestack. Get on your blog. Jim Hope Davis, congratulations to Michigan State.
Y'all
beat Michigan. Next show, P-Double, we got to get the Hope on.
Yeah, I've been dying to have him on.
Yeah, let's get him on. We gotta talk to his people, have our people talk to his people.
Give him an offer letter.
Right. So we're going to get the Hulk. We want to get Chris Bops. And then we'll figure out who next will be on. I wouldn't mind having Roger Dustin come on.
Yeah, they've been talking about doing some stuff together.
There you go.
We need to have them on.
I know it ain't all pretty like their show, but maybe they can come down and slump
This is more, you know, raw.
Yeah.
That's what I would call it.
Right. They kind of like upper echelon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like the movie Titanic. He was up there like Rose. They're like Rose. They're in that upper cabin. They're eating like caviar and lobster. Right.
Down here, we're drawing the one-legged hooker.
That's right. Here, Pete, we over there like we got tough. You know what I mean? We under the boat. Yo.
Man the lifeboats.
That's it. Listen, this podcast is going, gone. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnatshow.com.